Good morning, church, and let me add my welcome to Pastor Wade's and also to Pastor Brenda's. And this is an exciting time. We are headed into a new season, and it's going to be exciting to see what God is going to do through us, among us, and in us as we kind of embrace. And what better day to have the announcement and to go into this new season than Pentecost? Because this is Pentecost. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit coming to us and empowering us to go out into all the world. So excited about what lies ahead. And just again, wanted to welcome you. Welcome online. Also see a couple of guests here this morning, actually, as well. And also welcome to the guests who are online. This morning is Pentecost, and we're looking at courage. Today is the last sermon in the Courage series. And it's the courage to testify. The courage to testify. To testify means you go on record about what you have seen and heard. And I think more than ever, as we look around at our world, as we look at the news, as we read the news, as we hear reports, now is the time to testify. We need to go on record about what we have heard and seen in the power of Jesus. Last week, I was talking with one of you over here, and we were talking about who is it in our lives that we need to give thanks for? Who is it especially who has helped us along our spiritual journey, and especially who introduced us to Jesus Christ? Who would that be? Now, as we were talking, this person was saying that for her, it was her grandmother. And her grandmother introduced the family to Christ, and now four generations of that family know Jesus Christ. So who would it be for you? Who do you need to thank that you are here this morning or that you are watching online because someone told you about Jesus? So let's just call that out. I'm going to write up here. Hopefully we can see without all the reflection, but who would be the person that introduced you to Jesus Christ? It doesn't have to be names. You can just call out like a parent or a grandparent or call out some people who introduced you to Christ. Who would that be? Yes. Sister-in-law. Yes, in Kansas. And we are grateful for her. Who else? Yeah. Stepfather. Yes. Who else? Mother. Mom. All right. Call it out. Who else? What's that? Your colleague at work. Yeah. And online, Grace is, I think, hosting this morning. So online, if you want to go ahead and be typing those in as well, who is it that introduced you to Christ? Who else? Your pastor. All right. Let's hear it for pastors. Who else? Yeah, an alpha leader. Anyone else? A friend. Okay, we could keep going on in here, and behind each of these is a name. And we should just stop right now and just give thanks for that person. Because it's that person that introduced you to the author of life, the one who is life-giving. Now, for me, I grew up, as you knew, in a Christian home, so my parents introduced me, but it was actually when I was 17, as I mentioned before, that I heard a speaker, and something in the way the Holy Spirit was working through him, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it all made sense, and I saw the beauty of Jesus, and I knew this is the one that I want to give my life to, and I've been following him with Marion around the world since. And I don't even know his name. So I'm looking forward to going to heaven and find out who that was and thanking him, right? The courage to testify. All through these last weeks of COVID, when the world has been looking at fear, and we have seen fear around our world, as a church, we've been choosing actually to focus on courage, to focus on courage, to focus on the courage of Jesus Christ. And here's what I think. This is the last sermon on this courage series, because I think this sometimes can be the toughest to do. And yet this, to testify about Jesus Christ, has the most impact of anything else we will do. Last week, Pastor Wade was preaching on courage in the storms, right? We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and not get distracted, because he has his eyes on us. We're trusting in him, and he's trusting on us. And we need to do that, because he's the one who can see us through this storm. So we're going to have a couple of passages today we're going to look at. So it's Acts 4. We're going to start Acts 4:13, and then we're going to look at the story a little bit. I'm just going to read it to you. You'll see it on the screen. If you're at home and you want to get your Bible, you can do that. Look at these verses together. It's mid-story, so I'm just going to read the verse, and then we'll come back and we'll have a little bit of context. But Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Okay, so what's the backstory here, right? Because we've entered right into the story. Day of Pentecost comes. The disciples are in lockdown, right? They're in a big room. They're all together, but they're not moving about that freely. Haven't received the Holy Spirit yet in power. Holy Spirit comes in power, and they begin to speak, and everyone hears in their own language the glories of God. Couple of days or some short time afterwards, Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray. On the way up to the temple, there's a man there. He's been crippled for 40 years, 40 years. And he calls out and he's asked for money. He's a beggar. And Peter says, we don't have any money, but what we have we'll give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed. And he's healed. And then we know the children's Sunday school story, right? He jumps up and, you know, he's leaping and praising God. And of course, that causes quite a commotion, because this man has been crippled for 40 years. Now he's jumping around praising God. In fact, it says when Peter is talking, he just keeps walking around. And I think I would too, right? If you haven't walked for 40 years. But what happens is a big crowd gathers. And as that big crowd gathers, Peter says, filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to preach. And this is what he says. He says, you killed the author of life. That's a pretty big statement, right? That's boldness. You and your leaders killed the author of life. Now, this is thousands that are gathering there. And then the leaders, the religious leaders he's talking about, come, and they have the spiritual police, and they sense there's going to be a riot here, and so they put them into prison. And apparently they put the person who was healed also in prison, because he's in there the next day. And then they say the next day, we want to hear. So the next morning they call them in and said, tell us what you were doing. And Peter again begins to preach about Jesus. And that's when they say this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men had been with Jesus. Now, I love how they're described. Unschooled, ordinary. Unschooled doesn't mean they couldn't read or write. It means they didn't have religious training, like most of us. Ordinary means, well, it means ordinary, right? This was not the Tim Keller, this was not the Francis Chan of the day that was speaking. They had never heard of these people. They were like us, ordinary. Most of us haven't had religious training, and yet they were speaking with such power and such boldness and such courage that they took. There was notable courage, it said. Mary Lee, in that beautiful video, you know, again, reminded us that courage is doing the right thing even when you're afraid. Courage is doing the right thing even when you're afraid because of the power of Jesus. This last week, I was in a tense meeting. Well, the meeting overall was actually quite good, but there was a part of the meeting that was a little bit tense, and I felt I needed to say something. And so I begin to speak, and immediately as I begin to speak, I begin to feel my heart just kind of pounding in there, right? We said courage and heart go together. It was this pounding, and I begin to pray, Holy Spirit, help me to say the right thing, a gracious thing. And it may be that you were in a meeting like that this week where you felt you needed to speak up. It may be that you're going to be in a meeting like that this coming week. I think this is the meeting that Peter and John were in. I don't think Peter just was totally at peace. I think probably his heart was beating, but he was being encouraged because of the connection of Jesus Christ. Where does your courage come from? Where does your boldness come from? It comes from that connection with Jesus. Now, here's what I've found over the years. I've found that oftentimes, in times of trouble, like the world is going through right now, that Jesus raises up spiritual battle songs. These spiritual battle songs are songs that encourage us, as Pastor Wade was sharing earlier, and they also encourage us as a church, and they encourage us as a nation. One of those songs we're going to hear right now, and that song is the blessing song. This song has encouraged and empowered people in South Africa and in Canada, in the UK, in Australia, here in Hong Kong. And Danielle has agreed to come and sing it to us this morning with Anita. And as they minister to us, be ministered to. Allow yourself to receive this battle song that the Holy Spirit has lifted up for you this morning.
Be great.
Amen. Thank you, Danielle. That took courage. And earlier, Danielle and I were talking, and she was saying she felt a little bit nervous, and I was saying I feel a little bit nervous too. But when you feel a little nervous, it means you're about to do something important. And that was important. So thank you, Danielle. And let me just say this as an aside. If you're part of our Shine ministry here, if you're one of the children, or if you're one of the youth, don't wait to testify. Don't wait to share your faith. God has given you the agency. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now might be the best time for you to share what God has done in your heart. So do that with boldness and courage, and know that we are with you as he is with us. Okay, so let's go on back to the story. You notice it's Peter and John. And so Anita, thank you for being an Anita and Danielle, because the "and" is important during these things. We need to find others. It's easier to be courageous if there's someone alongside us, right, and with us in this. So we're going to go on and look at Acts, same chapter 4. We're going to go down to verse 18. Then, so basically, the Sanhedrin heard them. And then they didn't know what to do, so they excused them from the room and then decided, okay, we're going to tell them to just be quiet. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. This is the same Sanhedrin that a couple of months earlier had killed Jesus, right? So let's keep that in mind, or had put forward the what was in motion for that to happen. So then it says they called them in again, and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now, that's a powerful statement. And, you know, right there it says, courage is doing what is right even though we're afraid. And sometimes what God tells us to do will be at odds with what people tell us to do. And what he's saying is there, we're going to do what God has called us to do. But I want to focus more on that last verse. As for us, we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard. You know, right now, there's a lot of talk with the new law that's been proposed and what the implications of that will be. And then there's some talk that maybe at one point we may not be free to talk freely about Jesus Christ here. But there's no law right now. Right now we can speak freely. Anil can tell you from his work through Stand Asia that there are countries all around Asia and all around the world where we are not free to speak, and many of our brothers and sisters are in prison because they have spoke about Jesus Christ. So what is it that's stopping us? Why are we self-censoring in this area? You know, some weeks ago, the end of March, after coming back for traveling, Marion and I were in quarantine. Actually, Lindy's in quarantine now, so this is kind of daddy call out to daughter time. So, Lindy, if you're online there, you know, welcome. But it's they're in quarantine right now, or Lindy is, and Marion's with her. But when I was going through that quarantine with Marion, there was a powerful moment one morning where I felt Jesus just drawing near. And as he was drawing near and I was sharing with him some things that I felt I was struggling with, I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, imprinting on my heart, what is stopping you? What is stopping you? So I want to ask that question of us right now. These, Peter and John said, we can't help but talk about Jesus. We've seen what he can do. We've seen what he's done. And we can't help it. So what is stopping us from maybe testifying or telling others and sharing our faith? So I'm going to just call these out again. This will be harder to call out. And online, if you want to write some things down, but what are some things that maybe keep you from sharing your faith and all that Jesus has done in your life with others who don't know him? What are some things that might come out as obstacles?
Judgment.
Right. We might be judged, right? And we might not like how we're judged. What else? Tilting the apple cart at work. Say more, because that's a long thing to write up here. Persecution. Yeah, exactly. There is persecution. There are people that I know of who have been looked over for promotion because they've basically spoken out. There's persecution. Yeah, good. Thank you, Roger. What else? What's that? Rejection. Yeah, you'll be maybe rejected. And no one likes rejection. You may be looked over. What else? There was someone over? Lack of knowledge, right? Maybe we think we don't have the knowledge, right? And as we're talking about these things, let's put these things in this story, right? Because this says they were unschooled. They didn't know, right? If you know Jesus, you know enough. But we feel that way, right? We feel like we need to know more sometimes. What else? It's uncomfortable, right? Why is it uncomfortable? Absolutely. It's personal. We were talking about this in men's. The men's were great yesterday in terms of we had a lively conversation at the men's group about this. But someone was saying, this is very personal to me. And it's going to be personal to the other. And that requires vulnerability, right? And vulnerability, we've learned in this series, is part of courage. That courage to put ourselves out there and say, we may be rejected, but I'm going to do the right thing even though I'm afraid. What else might be something here? Conflict. Yeah, it might cause some conflict. And idols, right? And so there is going to be some conflict in that. I think it's worth thinking about because it's going to be different for each one of us. What might be holding you back? What might be holding you back? You know, sometimes we don't like to get it wrong, right? And so we need to be bold. As Pastor Wade was talking earlier, this bold humility, right? Because we don't want to get it wrong sometimes, and so then we just don't do it, right? We self-censor. But this bold humility says, I'm going to do it even if I get it wrong. I remember when we were looking at the Hope campaign here, and the H was going to be healing, and there were a number of us that were uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable. Can we have this healing ministry? Why was I uncomfortable? Because I'd seen so many healing ministries do it wrong, right? And so then I felt the Holy Spirit saying, okay, because others did it wrong, are you not going to try to do it right? Others will do it wrong, but we need in this humility, and that's bold humility. Boldness says, I'm going to do it. Humility says, I don't know how to do it. And so Jesus, help me with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's another underlying reason here, and I think if we're honest, and this came out in the men's group as well, do we care? Do we really care? Do we have that love in us? We've been singing, Stir Up a Passion in Our Heart. It's a great song, but is that what's happening? Because when the passion's there, it overflows. What does Peter and John say? They say, we can't help it. We can't help it. It just comes out of us. This last week when we were talking with the three pastors and Brenda was talking about, I think it comes from intimacy with Jesus. And I think that's right. Where is our intimacy? Where is that passion with Jesus? So let's go. The next verse is actually a nice little verse. It's also from Peter. So if we go to Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, there. You know, Peter, the same Peter who gave this great, great, bold testimony in public, what he says here is if someone asks you, tell them about the hope inside you, but do it. Do it, he says, with gentleness and respect. That's being mindful that it's very personal, right? And let's go to the next verse. This is the one we're going to close with, Acts 23:11. This is Paul at the end. And this is what the verse says. That night, the Lord stood near him and said, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness in Rome." I love this verse. It's at the end of Paul's life. Paul has also, right now, he's in prison because for his own protection, the authorities thought he was going to be torn in two, so they put him in protection, and he's discouraged. He's at the end of his ministry, and he's thinking, God, this is not where I thought we'd be. This is a discouragement, and I love how it says the Lord stood near him and said to him, "Keep up your courage." That might be a word for you here. That might be a word for you online, that the Lord himself draws near to you and says, "Keep up your courage." And then he says this. He says, "You've testified. You've gone on record for me here in Jerusalem, the center of the world faiths, the center of religion. But now I'm going to send you to Rome." You know, we talked about spheres of influence a lot. And this next slide shows spheres of influence that all of us are called to. So basically what God is saying to him is, you've testified in the religion sphere. Now I'm going to send you to the government sphere. I'm going to send you to Rome, the center of power at that time. Where are you in each one of these areas? Because God is sending you there as well. Pentecost says they spoke in languages that others could understand. If you speak the language of business, that will be your sphere. If you speak the language of education, if you speak the language of government, right now, we need our leaders to testify, those who know Jesus, and we need leaders across. We see what's going on in every government, in every part of this world, and we know there's something deeper than race, right? We were having that conversation before. We know that there's more in there. There's also this income disparity, which is coming to bear. There's all of this coming. Now is the time to testify. If you're heartbroken when you see what's going on in Minneapolis and Atlanta and here and other places in the world, when you see the fires of the riots instead of the flames of the Holy Spirit, then you have something to do. Testify. Go on record. Share what you've seen and heard. That's all it is. You don't have to give a theological treatise. We don't have to do that. We just need to say, this is what Jesus has been doing for me. I think in the time of COVID, there will be many who say, it was during COVID that I came to know the Lord. May you be the person that told them that. And that's going to take courage. So let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Apart from you, we can do nothing, but with you, all things are possible. And so, Jesus, may these be more than words and songs. May they be your reality. I pray this week, for those who are watching online and for those who are here in the room, this could be the week where they just share with someone, because you are the author of life and we want to be life-giving. We know that someone told us about life and we're here. So God, flow through us. May our words, may our actions speak of your beauty. May they be gentle with respect. And may they be life-giving. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.